Well, we are joined now by Hillary Frank, host of WNYC's Longest Shortest Time podcast, which focuses on surprising struggles in parenthood. Hillary, welcome.
Thanks for having me.
So, Hillary, you and your team are looking at some of the big questions that parents ask themselves after having a baby in those first few weeks and months as it pertains to their sex lives and how sex lives change for couples. And I think that in a lot of ways, we kind of know that. We know that you have a baby and your sex life is definitely going to take some hits. It's going to change. What's surprising to you about some of the conversations parents either are having or aren't having and should be having about this?
Well, and this even goes beyond the first few weeks. I mean, this goes on for years. And I don't know if this will be surprising, but people, particularly women, have been saying to us a lot that they just feel like they're going to give up. Like they feel literally like they are not going to have sex ever again, or that they're just never going to enjoy sex again. And this can be for a lot of reasons. It can be, you know, just your basic sleep deprivation, which kind of doesn't go away in the first year. It lasts for a really long time. And, you know, when you're a parent, you are giving all of yourself in every way possible. You are giving yourself mentally, emotionally, physically. And like a lot of times you just feel like you don't have anything left to give a partner or even to receive. And that's especially true when a woman has had a childbirth injury that they're having trouble getting help on. And so a lot of times people just give up.
Can we talk a little bit more about those injuries, Hillary? I think a lot of times childbirth is framed as this great miracle, and we're not talking about the physical toll that it takes and what's happening to the body and these specific injuries.
Right. So there's a lot of different ways that you can get injured in childbirth. You know, there's sort of the typical things you think of. There's tearing. There's an episiotomy, which is when you get cut vaginally to help the baby get out. There's C-sections. But then there's also like your bones can get misaligned or your muscles can get thrown out of whack. There's all kinds of things that can impact your body in a permanent way if you don't get help. You know, one thing that not very many people know about is that there's this thing called pelvic floor physical therapy. It's like regular physical therapy, but in your pelvic floor. I talked to one of the pioneers of the pelvic floor physical therapy practice in this country. And she said that she was at a party where she had been at a convention talking about pelvic floor PT, and that like all of these doctors were cornering her like on the dance floor and in the bathroom and being like, hey, I've got a childbirth injury that I need help with. Tell me what I need to do. So this is like so unknown that gynecologists don't even know to recommend it.
Let's play a clip of that physical therapist.
With pregnancy, almost every single system in the whole body changes. The endocrine system, musculoskeletal system, circulatory system, respiratory system. And giving birth is truly an Olympic event. So this is an extraordinarily neglected population. People basically think that you just should bounce back, and they don't know who to go to.
And let's talk about the bouncing back, because while I haven't had children and Irva has not had children, we know a lot of people who have. And something we always hear about is that 6-week checkup and how you're supposed to be ready to get back in the game then.
Right. So you go for a 6-week checkup with your gynecologist or your midwife, and they'll give you the thumbs up or thumbs down whether you're ready to have sex again. And I think everyone thinks, you know, what they mean is, you know, vaginal penetration. But I don't think that most people feel ready for at least like the first 6 months, but then you wind up feeling guilty because you're saying like the doctor says it's okay, but partner, I'm not ready.
Well, Hillary, you talked to Dan Savage about this and Jane Marie. Dan Savage, of course, from Savage Love Cast, and Jane Marie, who's formerly a producer at This American Life and who writes a column now for Cosmo about this very question of the 6-week checkup.
The doctors say, come in for your 6-week checkup and now your vagina's fine and you guys can go back at it. And it's just like, what? And that's a doctor telling you that's what's supposed to happen. I'm serious. I mean, I really think people have the wrong idea about it.
Yeah, I think that's the thing is like you're recommending all these things that don't involve penetration. But like that's the thing is that the doctor is saying you can be penetrated at 6 weeks, you know,
to the barricades. Let's revolt against that checkup. I think that's horrible. We didn't have that
checkup,
obviously.
Right?
I wasn't even aware of this checkup. And what pressure that must put on the woman.
And can I just point out, like, how crazy it is that Dan Savage has been a sex columnist for decades now and had never heard of the 6-week checkup? Like, like that's how hush-hush this all is. Like, the way it gets talked about is women, like, whispering to each other in their homes and like, on the phone and, you know, in the corner of a restaurant. It doesn't get talked about publicly. And so what Dan and Jane were recommending in our sex advice episode is the go-ahead to start trying sex doesn't have to be penetration. You know, it can be that you're just, like, sort of getting to know each other again. And if you can rethink it in this way that doesn't put pressure on the woman to be penetrated, then maybe it can actually be something to look forward to and to feel that it's a gentle kind of reacquainting yourselves with each other.
I mean, one of my big questions is, how do women's relationship to their breasts change after having a baby? Because you're breastfeeding. You have this very different relationship to what your breasts do and what they're there for, I would imagine. I mean, how do all these questions about your body just kind of change the way you feel about it and then the way you feel about your sex life?
Yeah, I mean, that's big. I mean, a lot of the women in our online community, we have a very active community, both on our website and this Facebook group that we run called Longest Shortest Time Mamas. And often people are talking about how their breast size has changed dramatically. They can get bigger or they can get smaller, but generally they don't go back to what they were. And so there's an image thing going on with that. Maybe you have stretch marks all over you that you didn't have before. Maybe your belly will never stop sagging. Like, that's just, these are new things. And so there's the self-image type stuff that goes on, but also, you know, not everyone's breastfeeding, but the ones who are, they can be super tender. They can be squirting milk. You can have, like, hard spots where, like, there's plugged ducts and they're really, really painful. You generally, if you're breastfeeding, don't want your breasts touched. But one of the tips that Dan Savage gave us was you can use that to your advantage. This was, like, stunning to me, that you can use all of that kind of stuff as denial to make things more exciting. Like, no, those are off limits right now. But one day you'll get it back.
Now, Hillary, earlier in our conversation, you were saying that some of the people out there who are part of your online community and in conversations you've had, some of them have just pretty much just thrown in the towel and said, there's just no sex. That's it, which sounds really sad if people want to have sex that they're not doing it. And I'm not passing any judgment on if couples decide mutually that they don't need to have sex anymore. But if they do, are there any final takeaways that you can share with us about what the people in your community have been saying to each other, what your experts have been saying?
Yeah, I mean, people are feeling generally pretty resigned about the whole thing. Like, they're feeling like this is just never going to happen again. And I've been there. I mean, like, that's why I wanted to do this series. And I think the takeaway is it does not have to be that way. It really doesn't. There are all kinds of professionals that can help you. And we're going to be featuring all kinds of resources on our website where you can find the help that you need.
Well, the series is called the Sex and Parenthood Series from the Longest Shortest Time podcast. Hillary, thank you so much for joining us.
Thanks for having me.